man, you know.
In the middle of January.
And you know what? You and I are going to have to get up when it's at the coldest.
At the coldest, yeah.
Right? Yeah. When 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
They better leave the heat on. Because if I come in and I have to produce a show with 3 layers, and I'm just sitting down the entire day.
You know, man, and
I'm calling HR, I swear.
Man, and because you already know, you know, I came in, you know, I think I started, how long have I been here? Have I been here a year? No, I think it'll be a year for me. I think I started on Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did. I started on Valentine's Day. So it'll be a year on Valentine's Day. And I remember coming in, man. Oh, man. You know, Valentine's Day, man, is still cold and bright. I mean, it's mm-hmm. February 14th. We're right there. And, you know, man, and then driving out here, right? And a couple snowstorms and, you know, and people not knowing how to drive. And
I mean, that's everywhere here.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, it is, man. You know, 30 days and counting. So, man, we got to figure out, man, what we're going to do in these next 30 days.
We got to throw a summer pool party. A massive summer pool party.
Yeah.
On the hottest day.
Yeah. You know, man, that would be nice. And if you would have said that 20 years ago, I would say, yeah, that would be great, man, because my body was different 20
Come
years
on,
ago.
You can't swim.
How you know that?
I didn't know that. I'm asking you.
No, man, I don't. I can't swim.
Oh.
I can't even float.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I mean, you know, something about black people and water. It's true, man.
I mean.
It's true.
I mean, yeah, to a certain degree.
And what do you mean? For the most part.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been living a little longer than you, and there's something about it. I have reason that I fear water, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember as about 12 years old, I went to a summer camp, and it was Camp Whitcomb, and with the boys club. And so I go to the summer camp, and I've never been in water for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And we get in a rowboat. And so, you know, I'm not understanding. You know, I have on the life jacket, but I don't know anything about water for the most part, you know, open water. I had never been in any. And, you know, when you live in the city, you know, that's kind of the way it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I went to the beach a couple times, but the water is never that deep, or you don't go that far out.
Well, the beach, you know, but I'm talking about on, you know, Cedar Lake and, you know, and places like that.
Yeah.
And so it's a lake. And so, you know, I'm in this rowboat with some other guys, and I see some guys in a canoe, and it looks like they're having fun, man. So I tell them, hey, man, stop the rowboat. Let me get on the canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I get on the canoe, or get in the canoe, and they turned it over.
What? Why?
Because they were having fun. These guys knew they weren't afraid of water. They knew how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, man, they turned it over, and here I am. I've got on a life preserver. But I'm thinking the life preserver is going to keep me waist up over the water.
That's where you went wrong, Earl.
Huh?
I said that's where you went wrong, Earl.
Well, yeah. At the time, I didn't know it. And so, man, you know, I'm panicking because the life preserver only keeps barely your head over the water, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how do you know that if you haven't experienced it?
You don't.
I know. So I'm panicking. And then once they saved me, so then I started the high school I went to. We had swimming lessons, right? They taught us how to swim. But the swimming pool, the deepest part of it was 5 feet deep.
That's not that bad.
They're not going to teach you how to swim in a swimming pool.
Why are they
only
teaching you? Like, why do they have a summer camp and they don't teach you how to swim? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well,
throw you in the water. It
probably is a great question, Connor, that only a cerebral guy like you would ask. But
cerebral.
but the bottom line is, I never gave it any thought. If you're in a summer camp, you would think that would be one of the things they would teach, right?
Yeah, especially you said you were what, 12?
Yeah.
12.
Yeah, 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
But the other part of it was, so, you know, in the high school that I was in, we took swimming lessons. The swimming pool was only 5 feet deep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't, you can stand up in it. So you really can't, that's not teaching you how to swim.
Yeah, that's just babying you.
Yeah. Again. And which is what I do when I go to the Y now. I make sure I'm in the section of the pool that's only 5 feet deep.
So I was gonna say, I go to the Y. I love swimming. I love it. I love doing it. I didn't swim in high school at all, but I used to work at a gym in Chicago and I used to go and swim all the time.
Yeah.
And their pool goes to like 10, 11 feet.
But you learn how to swim at a young age.
Yeah, I did almost drown, though. My brother saved me, but from that one experience, I learned. I was a little reckless kid. I didn't do a lot of, like, stupid stuff, but
right.
I like testing water, because I like learning things, right? So I was like, well, if I'm going to swim, I have to go in the deepest part of the pool and just see if I can keep myself afloat. And that was a dumb idea, but I did it anyway. And then I almost drowned. But I did learn how to keep myself afloat. I just failed.
Well, man, so what I'm saying to you is, I will pass on from this life without ever learning.
Oh. Nah, you gotta. You said you go to the Y. They have lessons at the Y.
Yeah, I know, man.
That has to be on the bucket list.
Well, let me bucket list. Let me tell you something, young man, about a bucket list. You wouldn't believe it, but at 58 years of age, I jumped out of an airplane at 15,000 feet.
That's cool.
Right?
15,000
feet.
Okay.
It was actually considered skydiving.
I mean, that is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Look, I didn't do it alone now, so.
You're telling me you didn't fly the plane up there and jump off?
No, man. What happened was I was on a different radio station, and the United States Army considered me to be, believe this or not, they call it a sphere of influence. And
no,
so they gathered people from across the nation, because I used to talk about the military on my show, and I would talk and say that people who didn't know what they wanted to do should join the military and teach them discipline and give them opportunities, as opposed to not, you know, to just wasting their life. So I would have the military on from time to time, and we talk about that. So they said, you know, we're gonna make you a sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to invite you down to San Antonio, Texas. And I represented, believe it or not, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. And I forgot the other one. So they took me down, or gave me this opportunity and my wife to go down to San Antonio, Texas, Lackland Air Force Base, and we were there for an entire 7 days. They treated us like royalty. But they kept asking me, hey, what would you consider jumping out of an airplane? And I'm like, yeah, right, you know, and I'm, you know, just talking, just running off at the mouth. And I said to the audience, if more of you guys say yay than nay, then I'm going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And more people said yay than nay. So I didn't realize that many of those people didn't want me to come back. They wanted something to happen.
Oh, that's evil. Screw those people.
So they said yay. So I wound up going down, man. And
you survived anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, man. So the story, you've never heard of them, but they're called the Golden Knights. And the Golden Knights are the number one jumpers in the entire world. The former President Bush, the first, jumped with them, and all these movie stars and others have jumped with the Golden Knights. They're the best jumpers in the entire world. And so I get down there, and they're sitting around, and I'm doing my thing. I'm running off at the mouth and not thinking about the consequences that my mouth was getting ready to put my you-know-what into. And they said, well, so when you get up there, do you want to turn flips? Do you want to do all these different things once we're up there? I said, yeah, man. Other people didn't want to do it. I said, yeah, but I do. I'll do it. I'll do it. Listen, we got to go to a break, and I'll continue this saga on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Something's in the air right now, like I'm losing track of time. Like I don't really care right now, but maybe that's fine. You weren't even there that day, I was waiting on you. I wonder if you were aware.
You know what, man?
Was the last straw?
That's nasty.
That's your girl, Billy. Billy Eilish.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. But yeah, man, that's nasty. I like that.
Yeah, that bass line.
Yeah, it is. It's great. But anyway, I was, you know, before we went to break, talking about, you know, at the age of 58, I began talking about the fact of my fear of water and how at my age now, this advanced age of 68, that, you know, I'm haven't learned how to swim. But I shouldn't say I can't swim. I can swim in 5 feet of water and less. Does that say I can swim?
I mean, it does. But
Hey, considering I'm 5'7"
yeah,
and shrinking.
Yeah. That's like saying I can fly just by standing.
So anyway, as I was saying before the break, I wound up down in San Antonio, Texas. So we're all these people who they brought from around the country and treating us like royalty. And so the Golden Knights, and they're teaching us about what to do before we go out of the airplane, right? And they said, well, it's going to be 15,000 feet. And I'm like, okay, I can't envision what 15,000 feet really is, you know. So they're showing us, you know, how to position ourselves and all those kind of things. And I'm having fun, man. I'm just tripping, right? I'm just having fun, man. I'm listening to all this, and I have no concept at all of what I'm getting ready to get involved in. And they said, well, you want to turn? We can flip. We can do all those things. I said, well, yeah, man. The other people had enough sense to say no. But not me. I'm adventurous. So anyway, we go through this. They got all this stuff set. And then all of a sudden, they say, well, look, it's overcast. It doesn't look like it's going to change. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to jump. And I'm like, man, after all of this time, we're not going to be able to jump. They said, but what we'll do is we'll take you up in the plane to the height of where we would jump. And 15,000 feet was above the clouds, man.
That's crazy.
I had no concept of what it was. And then they took me up in a plane that was about the diameter of the plane was probably 12 feet.
Oh, so it was like a little.
Yeah.
Like a little, so, little military plane.
Yeah, so, and then they had that whole front door opened where I'm sitting right across from it. And the fear finally sets in. Hey, man, they got that door open. It's only a few feet away from me. And we're above the clouds. And then I was so happy that, you know, the clouds were there. And then by the time we got down on the ground, and I'm celebrating, somebody runs out of the door and says, oh, good news. The cloud cover has lifted. We're going to go up. Man. And I'm sitting there, man, and there's a guy, two of us are up, three of us are in the plane that are going to jump. And there's this one guy, I guess, who used to parachute in the Army, and he, you know, was doing all his bold talking. But then when he went out of the plane, his eyes got bigger than watermelons.
His eyes got bigger than watermelons.
Yeah, man. And oh, I'm like, Lord. Man, I'm the next guy up. And then the guy is, you know, he's nudging me up towards the door. And one guy falls out backwards with the camera. He's shooting upside down. So they can catch the look on your face.
Ooh.
And so the guy that I'm attached to, listen, they're not going to let you go up there and jump alone, right? And so there's a guy that you're attached to. And so this guy started nudging me because we're attached and he's behind me, nudging me towards the door. And so, man, it's already break time. But anyway, they're nudging me towards the door, and the guy's laughing and joking, and I'm, you know, like laughing and joking. They're not going to take you up 15,000 feet and then let you cower out, right? then that's not going to happen.
Nope.
You're going out that door. And so the guys get laughing and joking, and he's joking about all these things. And as he nudges me up to that door, he says something really funny, and I started laughing. Before I knew it, boom, you're out the door. And I had forgotten how to breathe. You're 15,000 feet up. I'm in a flat-out panic. I can't breathe. I don't know how to breathe. This air is hitting you in the face. You're falling over 100 miles an hour. All right, listen, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. This is true. We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I'm really telling this the saga of the of Earl Ingram and what happened 10 years ago, actually, when I was 58 years of age and I wound up. Skydiving, not, it's one thing to jump out of an airplane with a parachute and you pull the ripcord right away. Skydiving is something altogether different, where you're falling at over 100 feet per second and you're 15,000 feet up. Well, I lived through that. And so as I was... before we went to break, Connor, and I was talking about how the guy nudged me out, and I'm falling, and I'm in full-out panic, and I can't breathe. They taught us you're supposed to breathe through your nose and have your mouth closed. But me, because I'm in the panic, I had my mouth open, and I'm gasping for breath, and I'm falling at 15,000 feet. At 100 feet per second, and so or more, whatever that was. But anyway, all of a sudden, man, when I think that I'm going to pass out, the guy pulls the ripcord, right? And I thought it was terrifying when I was falling, but once he pulls the ripcord, that air hits underneath the canopy, and it shoots you back up, man. And all of a sudden, now the parachute is open, and you think, oh, man, this has to be the good part of it. And then you look down, and the houses look like ants. And you're coming down slow, and all you can think about is what happens if this buckle breaks. Right? Full-out panic again. And it takes, seems like, forever to get back on the ground, right? So I get back on the ground, and they run up to me with the camera and the microphone, and the guy says, well, hey, Earl, what do you think? And I said, well, listen, they can put $50,000 up in that plane. And if they said, Earl, if you did this again, we'll give you the $50,000. I said, that kind of money I don't want or need. Mm. Would never, ever, 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 ever do that again.
Oh. You know. I mean, for $50,000.
Not even for $50,000.
Oh, man.
Man, that's how terrifying that was, you know. And again, because you're not in control, right? Somebody else is in control. But anyway, I digress. Let's get to the show. Now, it's a 2-year anniversary. You remember, man, what went on in Kenosha?
Yeah.
2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
The Jacob Blake situation and the riots that ensued after Jacob Blake was shot in the back 7 times. I don't know how you reconcile. We don't have to relitigate that. But I don't know how you reconcile, man, shooting somebody in the back 7 times and you somehow, you know, are free, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you yourself felt threatened, you know, after shooting somebody in the back 7 times. But we don't have to go through that. What I want to talk about, I was there, man. You know, the day after the first riot, I actually was representing the radio station, this radio station, or the owner of it, the then owner of the radio station. And so I went to Kenosha and did my radio show live from where all of this was going on. And met with the people right after the first night of rioting. Met with the people, talked with the people. And so I was there right in the midst of it and could feel and sense the outrage from people. Man, it was a tense, tense situation where people were really, really fired up, man. And, you know, as I was driving into the city, it was like a war zone. Things had been burnt out. And it was amazing to me because I, you know, had been to Kenosha
mm-hmm.
prior to it. And then to come and see all that stuff burn out. But here's what I want to talk about. So somehow Republicans are blaming Governor Doyle for what took place in Kenosha. You know, somehow they're blaming him. And Tim Michaels, the Yehu that is running for governor, went to Kenosha on yesterday, the 2-year anniversary, and blamed Governor Doyle for the Governor Evers for the situation that occurred in Kenosha. It takes a lot of, you know, testicular fortitude to blame Governor Evers for what took place there. I remember clearly what Governor Evers' response was to those things. Donald Trump and conservative talk show hosts and others and Republicans here in the state wanted the National Guard called out immediately. And they wanted the National Guard to patrol the situation. I was there. I know how tense the situation was. And talking with those people who were upset and irate because of this, you know, injustice of shooting a man in the back 7 times. And saying your life was threatened. Don't forget, at the same time, Kyle Rittenhouse, who murdered two men. That situation also transpired during that time. I know I was there. And so the people were outraged, and it was a time bomb. And if the National Guard had been called in at that point in time, it was a combustible situation, it would have exploded. Make no mistake whatsoever. If what the Republicans wanted to happen and Donald Trump wanted to happen would have happened, the number of people who died would have been tremendous. Because the tension was that strong. And so to hear, you know, a person like Tim Michaels, who knows nothing about any of this, he wasn't there. He doesn't know anything, probably wasn't even in the state because he lives somewhere else, to come in and do photo ops on yesterday and meet with some of the business people whose businesses were burned. Here's the other side of that. Those businesses that were burned had, now nobody's saying it should have happened, they had insurance, so they were covered. Mm-hmm. But to hear people say Governor Evers is the person who's responsible because he didn't invite in the National Guard because Donald Trump wanted to bring him in, people who are just looking to try to gain some leverage because Tim Michaels knows nothing about the state of Wisconsin. He knows nothing about running this state. And so Republicans know that they need to do everything within their power to try to gain control over the governor's mansion.
Exactly. I mean, inviting federal guards out to the L.A. riots in the 90s worked so well, didn't it?
Well, I know, man. I lived through those things.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand why that was even an option on the table. That just would have caused more discontent and more civilians being hurt, most likely at the hands of the federal.
Well, there's no question.
Exactly.
And Governor Evers did the right thing. And so when I hear, you know, these folk on the right, and I hate to say and call them the right as if somehow, you know, they're right in their thought processes. They're not. They're wrong. We should call them not the right, but the wrong. And so the things that they say and the things that they do and the people who follow them in their folly.
Yeah. I mean, I think we still have to, you know, respect their perspective, no matter how completely.
No, I
think we do. I that's the only way that we can properly explain why it's incorrect. We have to understand what they're saying first and then say, okay, you're wrong because of XYZ. Not really not because of anything emotional, just because of the fact that it's practical. Like, there's no reason to bring federal guards out there. It's only because of an agenda.
So let me say this to and respond to you on where we should respect their perspective. Mm-hmm. As a wise old man that I respect tremendously, once said, "Fooey on that." Archie Bunker. Fooey on that. No, we don't want to respect their thoughts. They don't respect anybody else's. And that's the problem. That's the issue. You know, to try to have dialogue, you hear it here with me Monday through Friday, trying to have dialogue with people who don't want to hear anything you have to say.
Exactly.
And who don't value your opinion, but somehow we're supposed to value theirs. And that's what's at the root of all of this, why we have this disconnect, because they somehow believe that they're 100% correct.
Yeah.
And that you are absolutely wrong, so you can't have dialogue with them. What took place in Kenosha 2 years ago was handled properly by the governor, Governor Evers, and the fact that Mandela Barnes, then lieutenant governor, supported the way the governor handled it was right. Mm-hmm. And so to hear conservatives now come back and try to, you know, look, here's what happens with these people, man. And that's why you really have to, you know, have understood them and watched them as I have over the past 40 years. And so their thing is to spin it. Okay. Well, right now the Republicans have a lot of baggage. And on the national level and even here on the state level, they've got a lot of baggage, man. And so they've got to try to do anything they can to take away the conversations that are being had about abortion, the conversations that are being had in the state on the state level. And so abortion is killing them. And so they don't want to talk about the things that people really want to talk about, the things that are impacting and important to many of the people and the majority of the people in the state and on the national level. So what do? They'll create this diversion And they'll start talking about, well, it's the two-year anniversary of what took place in Kenosha, and it was the worst thing that ever happened in the world.
Yeah.
They fail to understand. Some of us lived through 1968, and when cities across this nation, central cities, burned.
Yeah.
And how delicate a balance in the situation that is. Governor Evers handled it right. And Tim Michaels doesn't know a horse from a giraffe. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. What do you say? We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines. And Larry, how you doing, Larry? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? All right, Larry.
Oh, hello. This is Jean from Eau Claire.
Okay. Yes, Jean. How you doing?
Okay. Hi. Oh, this is so great in the morning. Thank you so much for that conversation, Earl. I think that's so important that we see where everybody's coming from in their span of life and what they've been through and why, you know, you and I are the same age, why we feel the way we do. And, you know, we've watched Democrats for many, many years always giving a fair shake to the other side, no matter what. Always trying to follow the law, always trying to be fair. And now, when we see what is happening in our country, it's not time to be fair. And in fact, my mom, who's 88, always talks about my grandfather, who always said, Republicans can be really nice people, but you don't want them running your country or your state because they always follow the leader. They never deviate from the leader. And, boy, that's really hit home to me because I never, you know, I kind of brushed it aside. I never seen it. I was younger, and now I believe it. It's very significant. And Governor Evers, to me, is an outstanding governor. He walks softly. He listens to people. And he works for the people. While our Republicans shut down our government, you know, was it about 10 months ago and haven't did anything for the people of the state of Wisconsin? Tony Evers has been all over our state listening to what we need and how to fill our needs. He is really working for us.
Go ahead, Jean. Go ahead.
Okay. And the Republicans are working right now very hard so that they can get tax breaks for the wealthiest in our state and for other people who are from other states, you know, getting rid of our environmental laws, you know, doing everything they can that's not for us, the people, so that they can get their election funds for the following year. So they do work for their election contributions, and they get paid real well for the work they do cutting those sons of guns taxes. So I vote for Governor Evers and any Democrat who's running because they really care about the people and they want to do the job for the people.
Jean, hang on. There's certainly no doubt having lived a little while, you gain some knowledge that only living can give you. And so those of us who have seen Republicans, not just now, but throughout our entire lives, what they've stood for, what they stand for today, it hasn't varied. It's the same thing, whether it's on the city level, on the state level, on the national level. They all speak with one voice for the most part, up until what's, you know, even though there's this rift between Donald Trump and other parts of the Republican Party, it's not that they're not speaking the same language. It's just the fact that there's a debate on who should be, speaking about the issues that they all agree on that really don't impact the average person in the society. That's nothing new. That's who they've always been. That's who they are. And so I don't really need to break bread. I remember I was a part of a panel with Mike Crute and two of the talk show hosts from WISN Radio. And I was, being kind. And there was one of the hosts named Vicki McKenna, who was a she-devil. And she was on the air. I mean, she was, just going ballistic and nuts and saying all sorts of crazy things. And I really gave her a break because, as I told her, my mother raised me to be respectful to women. But I allowed her to continue with that foolishness. Here's where we are. You can look at what Governor Evers has done. Look at his record. Judge him on that. And the state is doing fine. And there's a $5 billion surplus. And he wants to give those resources, for the most part, back to the poorest amongst us in the state. And so Republicans see that. And the greedy ones, right? Yeah. Many of them, the majority, not all, but far too many of them are just greedy.
Yeah.
And the Diane Hendricks of the world and those kinds of people, enough money is just not enough. And so they don't see it or don't have it in their hearts to do things to help the average person. That's who they are.
Can I bring up another
yes.
point? All the big money that comes in, I'm on the other side of the state, so they didn't broadcast a lot what happened in Madison when Walker was the governor. And when I watched on YouTube, the people going down there, to save the unions, and even the teachers who got the raw deal. Teachers have been really vilified, and I know teachers and have seen teachers work, and they work hard every day. And to take away their union rights and to vilify them. And they work for, those people are under stress every day because they have a lot of different people who are in charge of the teachers. They have the parents, they have the school board, and then they have the Republican type of government. And they have to, and they care for the kids. So,
hey,
I mean, teachers are great.
Hey,
and I feel
Jean,
bad for what happened.
We talked about that the other day, but thank you very much. I really appreciate it. My thing in all of that is, at the same time they were destroying the other unions, they supported the police and the fire. And that's the hypocrisy in Republicans. That's why it's so hard to listen to them. You can't say unions are all bad and then you support the police and fire. If you say all unions are bad, that includes the police and fire. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.